bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you.
855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM.
Still no winner in the Florida Senate race. USA Radio Network's Robin Wolinski explains.
The Senate race in Florida? Still up in the air. The winner still not certified because the election's still too close to call. There will now be a hand recount of the votes. Republican Rick Scott ahead of Democrat Bill Nelson by just over 12,000 votes out of the 8 million people who cast ballots. Now, under Florida state law, if the margin of victory is less than 0.25%, which it is, it triggers a manual recount.
That manual recount does have to be complete by Sunday at noon Eastern time. The Justice Department is preparing to prosecute WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange and is increasingly confident he could face a trial in a U.S. court. And North Korea has tested an ultra-modern tactical weapon under the observation of Kim Jong-un. That's at least according to what the state media over there reported on Friday. North Korea also said they would be deporting an American citizen detained for illegal entrance into the country. You're listening to USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you could start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
As Congress and Senate approach this lame duck session before the new members of the House and Senate take over, what can we expect to be accomplished? Well, Senator Joni Ernst, she's from Iowa. She joined Fox News and says, look, we need to work together because that's what we were elected to do.
Well, we can work together. I know that for certain. We've done a number of very large bipartisan bills that have passed and been signed into law by President Trump. Now, it will need to be a concerted effort to make sure that we are working with the House as it switches to a Democratic majority. There is a lot that we can get done. And I do hope the Democrats over there, instead of stalling and trying to divide America, that they will decide they need to work with the Republican-held Senate.
One of America's most recognized characters is celebrating a birthday. Here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes with the details.
Disney's mascot celebrating 90 years on screen.
What are you planning?
And to mark the Mickey Mouse milestone, the Walt Disney Company is airing a two-hour television special this Sunday to honor the legendary character who first appeared during a short film, Steamboat Willie, back in 1928. A long list of celebrities will pay tribute during that special, which will air on ABC. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
And finally, it was back on this date in 1959 when the musical The Sound of Music opens on Broadway. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
We'll be here in a minute with the sports guys, but I did want to let you know about the weather. If you're plowed out from yesterday, I'm not. I know it took people hours to get home. I understand that some people might have spent most, if not all, the night on Route 78, and there were, you know, unbelievable number of accidents. And what happened, of course, is not only did it snow, but then it started to rain and sleet. And one of the things that everybody has to worry about tonight is that the low about 29 degrees. So there's been a lot of melting. There's a lot of water on the roads. There's a lot of water. It's going to freeze tonight. So it will be very dangerous. What I always like to say is some of the most treacherous driving is on black ice, and that's what you could encounter tonight, especially on roads that didn't dry out. A lot of the back roads are not dried out. 31, for example, you know, that dries up because of the sun and all the traffic. But the other roads, as I was coming down from the Round Valley Reservoir area, there was a lot of water on the road, so be careful. by tomorrow, a lot of what is still out there, it's should be melting. It's a high of about 45 degrees, so a lot of places there will be no snow as of tomorrow. For some reason, our plow guy didn't get in, and so our driveway is a mess. Luckily, Bill, I have a four-wheel drive truck, so I was easily able to get out of it. Any event, tomorrow night, again, low of about 28 degrees, so you're going to have to be very careful, again, about the black ice, because whatever water is still out there is going to freeze. By Sunday, it should be, it's cloudy, prediction cloudy, 43 degrees. Going into the beginning of the week, chance of rain and then or snow, depending on how low the temperature gets. By Monday, that's Sunday night, by Monday, there's a 40% chance of rain or snow, then a slight chance of showers. Well, I guess unbelievable as it is, we're coming into our Thanksgiving week. So what's supposed to be happening on Thanksgiving? Well, mostly sunny with a high of near 44 degrees. So by Thursday, we should have all of the snow melted. Should be a very nice day if it's sunny, and at least it's mostly sunny. So it should be a great day. So
I certainly hope so. I'm kind of annoyed that we got so much snow so soon because I'm not done with my boat. And I'm going down there Sunday to drain the air conditioning system and getting some more stuff off, plus getting my floorboards, my deck boards off from the inside so I can go take them home and sand them, refinish them so they're bright and shiny in time for spring.
Well, Bill, one of the real problems when we have that kind of a snow and a heavy snow this early is the damage to trees, because at least in my area, most of the trees, except in the valleys, most of the trees up high still had, if not all the leaves, most of the leaves. And that's the kind of thing where that snow comes down and it just,
breaks limbs,
and of course, luckily yesterday there didn't seem to be a lot of wind, because that's one of the things recently. There's been a lot of wind and a lot of damage to trees because of the wind. And again, wind, rain, and a lot of wind and rain with the leaves still on the trees can still create, you know, huge damage. So one of the other things, of course, because it seemed to melt quickly today, there didn't seem to be, for this afternoon, there didn't seem to be a lot of snow on the trees. But anyway, watch out, folks. We want everybody to stay safe. And of course, Bill, I'm in deep mourning because now what I was worried about yesterday is we get satellite television, and so we were worried that we would have, you know, because of the snow, the heavy snow, we wouldn't have any television reception. Well, the good news is we did. The bad news is I maybe wish that we hadn't, because we wouldn't have had to watch what turned out to be, you know, just this terrible Packer loss. And, of course, the game started. I don't know, Bill, I don't think you started watching the game, but the very first Seahawks took the kickoff because the Packers deferred. And the very first play, not the kick, but they didn't run it back. So it was first and 10 from the 25-yard line. And I think it was Martinez, although some of the people said they thought it was Clay Matthews. But I really think it was Martinez. But Chris Carson fumbled the ball. And so, they were right down there. Graham and the Packers took over. Graham ran it, and I think his catch was near the 13-yard line. And then, well, actually maybe the 16th-yard line. So then on the second first down, first and 10, they went 10. second, first, and 10 from the 16-yard line. Jones, and I don't know if you've watched Jones, but he's really a real addition to the Packer team. Anyway, they got down to the 2-yard line, and then Jones took in the touchdown. So the Packers really, Crosby came in, kicked the field goal, so we had a 7-0 game, and really that was great, because then what happened is the Seahawks, they were 3 and out, of course, looking at what Carson did the first go-around, we thought, oh, well, he's going to be contained. Well, he turned out that he wasn't. And, so unfortunately, Mason Crosby had another second time the Packers went down, and there was a incomplete, and there was nowhere to go. So, Mason Crosby has been so good over all of these years, and he missed a field goal. He missed a field goal wide left, 47 yards.
That turned out to be the difference in the game, Pat, because they
it certainly did.
That's a real shame.
But part of the other problem is there were, Allison was not in the game, Cobb was not in the game, Graham went out of the game early, and, we can talk about something else, but we can't talk about the stupidity of McCarthy. I'm not a huge McCarthy fan.
Well, here's the thing I don't get. You've got 4 minutes, 20 seconds left. It's 4th and 2. The Packers are down by 3. And you've got the best quarterback in the league in Aaron Rodgers, my humble opinion, which I'm sure you share. And why not go for it? Because there's 4 minutes left. It's not likely that the Seahawks are going to stop a 3-yard gain or a short out pass. And now, let's say that you've got 4 minutes. Let's begin the first down. Now you've got 4 minutes to go. And with a guy like Aaron Rodgers, that's at least sustaining a drive to, at the very least, get into field goal range and try kicking another one, even if Cosby missed the first one.
Oh, yeah, but he had, after that, you're right, but after that he made all of the extra points.
Exactly.
Although at one point it looked like he was, I think that the field goal that he missed, if you looked at the way that ball was placed, I'm not sure that was totally his fault.
It's interesting. Rodgers, just before McCarthy makes what I think was a gutless choice, missed an open Marquez Valdez Scantling on fast play. And
yeah, terrible throw.
Yeah, bad throw, okay, fine. But what he said was interesting. We've lost too many games like this. That's the most frustrating thing, according to Rodgers. We've had a chance in almost all of our road games, especially against the Rams and the Pates. And again tonight, we're right there, but we just can't seem to get it done. There's been speculation, Pat, that McCarthy's job will be in jeopardy if he can't turn this season around.
Well, I don't think he's going to be able to turn it around, because think of the games that they have to play.
They're 4-6-1 right now.
I thought they were 4-5-1.
4-5-1. Thank you.
Okay. Don't make it any worse than it is.
I'm sorry.
But the Chicago Bears are 6-3.
Right.
And the
Vikes.
But let's go with Chicago. Chicago, Treblinski, this rookie, is really doing a great job. Chicago lost their first game against the Packers. They were playing in Lambeau. A couple things. First of all, do you know that the Packers have not won a road game all season?
That's right.
They've lost every single one. But what I'm concerned about the Bears is, if you watch that Bear-Packer game, the first half, the Packers were going nowhere. Now, they did come back the second half, but I think two things, and I've said this before. I think Treblinski showed in that second half of that game that he was a rookie. In other words, there were some things that he, I think, would have done differently if this wasn't, you know, had to be a very intimidating game. Here he is at Lambeau against somebody like Aaron Rodgers. The other thing that I really thought it was different is, although Khalil Mack is just unbelievable, I mean, he is just terrific, my sense is that he was not in good enough condition, and that showed in the second half of that game. So now they have to go to Chicago. The game with Minnesota, of course, that was their tie game. They have to play again. They have to play in Chicago. They have to play in Minnesota. I think, frankly, I thought that they should have won the game with the Patriots. I mean, I really thought that that was so close. So actually, the Patriot game, although it was disappointing, wasn't as disappointing as this one. But were you also aware, I know you didn't see the whole game, but did you see the play where there's no question, it was in the fourth quarter, as I recall, where the catch was not really a catch. Did you see that?
No, Pat, I didn't get to see all of the highlights. Well, talk about that play.
Well, that play, there was no question. There was only one timeout. Green Bay only had one timeout. It was very close to, I think, the two-minute warning. And what happened, clearly, and I can't believe that everybody didn't tell McCarthy this, clearly the ball that looked initially like maybe it was caught hit the ground. No question. And even the commentators, Troy, everybody said, well, why isn't McCarthy challenging it? And I think that the reason for that was that, he didn't want to possibly lose his last time out. But that was big speculation, and I've seen that play probably four times. And although initially, from one view, it looked like he might have caught it, he did not catch the ball, and everybody realizes. So, how in the world, is that somebody, McCarthy, those were two big plays, I think, that McCarthy really screwed up. One, that was not a catch, and then, as you said, they didn't go on fourth down. And, of course, what also happened is that, the Seahawks did. But the other thing, Bill, if you had seen that game, usually in those games, and I like Russell Wilson. You know, he played for Wisconsin, and I've always liked him. But usually it's Wilson, Wilson, Wilson. Yesterday, Carson, yes, he fumbled that first play, but he did so much. I mean, he was unbelievable. The Packers had a great deal of difficulty stopping him. I don't know exactly how much, what his gains were, but, first of all, Daniels was out. Not first of all, but Daniels was out, so he wasn't in there stopping the plays. Martinez looked good. I mean, I'm really impressed with Martinez. But, I mean, it was Carson, and then it was Carson, and then it was Carson. And, and then they would, if they were fourth down, they tried it a couple times, and then they made it. So the Packers were outplayed.
I think they were outplayed. I think they were also outcoached.
Oh, definitely. Definitely outcoached.
So now we have all of our teams seem to be struggling. I tell you, my Philadelphia Flyers lost last night 3-0 to the New Jersey Devils. So I'm kind of glad John McCready isn't here yet. I don't want to hear about it again. I managed to watch a little bit of the game. I saw the third period where the Flyers gave up a goal in the first period and still managed to hit a crossbar and both pipes no fewer than six times in the first and second periods. Didn't play a completely bad game, but then had a defensive lapse late in the third period and then gave up an empty net goal to wind the game up. What was bad is that Brian Elliott got hurt. He's out again with another lower body injury. Hart, who's not a bad goaltender, but is a young guy who really should be getting more seasoning in the American Hockey League, in my humble opinion, for the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, how to pick up the slack. So Flyers, once again, have a goaltending problem. They're not scoring goals. It's interesting. You said the Green Bay Packers can't seem to win on the road. Well, the Flyers' road record is far better than their home record.
Really? So, wow.
This year, and it's too bad they're not a West Coast team because they've only lost one game out on the West Coast. They've won like six of them. So it's very interesting to me. Why is it that this team can't score at home? Maybe they're just having too much fun.
Well, I don't know, but why can't the Packers win a game on the road?
Well,
and, you know, the other thing...
Because they want to sleep in their own beds.
Well, the other thing is, you know, Seattle did not look that good. Russell Wilson did not look that good. It was not... It was really the running game that really helped them. And they did some dumb things. I mean, there were a couple pre-snap penalties. I mean, I had to really look and see what these guys were doing. Rodgers caught them once with 12 men on the field, which he's always good doing. But there's no question that the people missing from the Packers are really missed. On the other hand, there was the, what's his name, young guy. I think he's from either Utah or Indiana, some, you know, school. I'm not sure that, I guess he was drafted. The first catch in the NFL, it was unbelievable. He caught it right outside, you know, maybe on the second yard line, but it was just one of, you know, we know that Aaron Rodgers can make these throws, but I don't think anyone would have said anything about this young receiver if he hadn't caught it. So, I mean, he was just elated. It really looked like the Packers had the momentum, and they certainly did in the first half, and then came out in the second half, and I think, as I recall, they only had 3 points.
That sounds about right. Now, Pat, I didn't see the game. I just saw a little bit of the highlights. I was disappointed when I woke up this morning and got the final score, but I can tell you that Green Bay, just like the Eagles, are not the same team they were last year. The Philadelphia Eagles at 4-5 are struggling. They have to play the Saints in New Orleans.
Oh, and they're going to have a terrible time. I mean, the Saints look great. Aren't they 8-1?
They're red hot. Saints are what, 7?
I thought they were 8-1.
Maybe they are 8-1. I know the Rams are up there, too.
Well, I think they each, as I recall, the Rams and the Saints have each only lost one game. Oh, the Rams are 9-1, but they've played one more game.
Yeah, and New Orleans is 8-1.
Right.
And the Eagles, you know, they're 4-5. They have yet to be a good football team this season. With Carson Wentz coming back in after game 3, but with J.A. out, with there being a very diminished running game, with the defensive backs just not being what they were last year, and the Eagles not winning the close games. The Eagles could easily have beaten the Cowboys. They could have easily beaten Washington and Carolina, but things did not go their way. So this is a team that could easily have been 7-2 at this point, or 6-2, and unfortunately, they just can't seem to get it done. I think I wouldn't call it the Super Bowl hangover. I wouldn't call it the sophomore jinx. They've had their share of injuries, but last year, it seemed there were injuries. Somebody stepped up. This year, that hasn't really happened. Last year, we saw Nelson Aguilar blossom into the receiver. Those who approved his being drafted in the third round thought he always would become. This year he's been good, but he hasn't been great. Zach Ertz has had a good season. He's a reliable receiver. But, you know, it's also a running game and also so defensively, Fletcher Cox is not getting the help that he needs. Great defensive back that he is. The Eagles are just not doing it. The other thing, too, is the O-line is looking shaky. I do not like Philadelphia's chances at 4:30 on Sunday against New Orleans Saints. I think the Saints are going to run all over them, and I think it's going to be like a 27-17 game.
Well, I have to say, unless there's some minor miracle, I agree. I think that the Saints, and of course, I like the Saints. I mean, I do like Drew Brees, and of course, now that the Seahawks won against the Packers, I think they're in there for a wild card. And the interesting thing about the Seahawks. And the interesting thing about the Seahawks is everybody said, oh, this was their rebuilding year. They didn't have X. They didn't have Y. They didn't have – but you know what? Everybody else has said it's their rebuilding year, but not the Seahawks. Well, you know, the Seahawks are playing like right they're just, right in there, and, they don't think it's a rebuilding year. Now, I have to say
– they're 5-5.
Right. No, they're now – the question is, who was going to have a 500 record? Was it going to be the Seahawks, or was it going to be, the Packers? And it turned out, of course, that and Jimmy Graham, although he's I think he only had one catch against the Patriots, but when he was out, that was not helpful. In fact, I think that at one point when Aaron Rodgers threw that long pass, he was thinking he was throwing it to Graham. But, of course, my all-time favorite tight end for the Packers.
But Jordy Nelson.
Well, yeah, that's true. I'm thinking before that was Sterling Sharp. I used to love to watch him. And, of course, Jordy Nelson was great. Also miss people like Donald Driver. And I still believe that although Jordy, I don't think, has been doing much for Oakland, I do believe that they should have kept him. The Packers should have kept him this year. He was always really good for one or two, long catches, and that's all they needed. And unfortunately, they didn't, they didn't get it. But the Seahawks definitely don't have to apologize for needing to, have a few years to regroup. Isn't that what the Jets always say? They're looking forward to next year and, wait till 2009 and they'll have recouped.
Well, that remains to be seen. The Jets played probably one of the worst games I've ever seen, and I've been watching them since way before the Richard Todd era. And I thought the Giants were bad. The Jets were worse.
Really? Well, let's hope so, because that's the I think that's the Packers' last regular season game on the 23rd of December.
Well, just remember, on the 23rd of December, the way it looks right now, neither of these teams is going to have much to play for. Things keep the way they are. The Jets are 3-7. Green Bay is 4-5-1.
Yep, 4-5-1.
And Green Bay still has a pulse when it comes to the playoffs, but we don't know about anything else. Well, here he is, ready to take over and brag about his Boston Red Sox. Congratulations to Mookie Betts and MVP in the American League. We still have some controversy over the Cy Young Award to Jacob DeGrom, but who cares about that? The real thing is, congratulations to Mookie Betts, the Red Sox are the world champs again. So John's wearing his Red Sox stuff.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you very much.
And you weren't really here when we, right after. So, we're a little bit behind, but
no, that's
so
true.
What?
That's true. But good to be here. Good to see you folks again.
And speaking of being a little bit behind, can you guess where a Flyers fan got a Flyers mascot tattooed?
Bill, it was a family show, so I'm going to say forearm.
All right, I'll let you go with that choice. choice, and let's move right on.
By the way, what was the score last night?
It was 3-0, unfortunately. But you know, the Flyers.
I did not see. I was at the game Tuesday night where they dumped the Pittsburgh Penguins and Sidney Crosby 4-2. And let me tell you something, Bill. There were a number of plays in that game, and I was there with Jim, and we were talking a lot about your ears must have been burning. And there's, you know, Pittsburgh, and look, it's a popular team. They've won a couple of cups recently, and you can't take anything away from Crosby, great player, Malkin, but they are a dirty team, Bill.
Well,
dirty
yeah.
team. I mean, when you're there live and you see what's going on behind the play, you see stuff that you don't see on TV, which obviously
right.
tends to focus on puck movement.
Yeah.
But when a guy makes a pass and the camera moves off him to the receiving player, and when you're at the game live and you can still watch the whole ice and you see the player that just made the pass and he gets a nasty hit, and Pittsburgh's notorious for that. Crosby ran the goalie one time. Kincaid went down, stopped Crosby, but was prostrate, and then the trailer came in and just popped it over him, and they reviewed it in New York, and they gave Pittsburgh the goal. And even with that gift goal, the Devils still beat them. So right now, they're doing well, and as you've heard me say many times, Bill, particularly in the NHL, but I think it translates to some extent to baseball as well, but I think most predominantly in hockey, and that is a team who has won a game is more likely than not going to win the next game.
Well,
and a team that loses is more likely going to lose the next game. It's just the momentum shift is amazing.
Yeah, well, in hockey,
well, what about during a game? Because that's one of the things that you sometimes see.
Oh, within the game.
And within
right, Bill. A
football.
Game within a game.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you know, sometimes with football, it's amazing sometimes how the momentum, you can
yeah,
just
oh,
see when it shifts.
Football is probably the biggest momentum game. Would you agree?
Oh, I don't disagree. Look, you know, we were just talking a little while ago about the Packers-Seahawks game. Packers have the ball, 4th and 2, 4 minutes, 10-20 seconds to go. McCarthy calls for a punt when he's got Aaron Rodgers arguing.
Yeah, he took a lot of heat for that.
Oh, well, he should have taken a lot of heat.
On the net.
For, as we were talking earlier, he should have also taken a lot of heat for not challenging. There was no question. Everybody said, yeah, we know he's being so conservative. He's only got one timeout left. But that clearly was not a catch.
That was a spot to use it.
And
if you were right, you wouldn't
lose
it.
Oh, but he wouldn't have lost it. But the
right.
point is, you know, they played it over and over and over,
yeah,
and
yeah.
it. There's no question
that was
that
a bad
ball,
loss, Pat.
It was a terrible loss.
That was
loss.
A bad loss.
And
now the speculation is that you know the watch is on with the coach.
Yeah.
He and Tomlin and it's funny how in football you can win and then suddenly you have a bad streak and right away everybody wants to blame the coach.
Well,
remember,
but
Todd Bowles
yeah. Oh, God, that guy's like a lobster. He's always in hot water.
But this one, this is really, there's no question that, you know, first of all, I mean, when there were a lot of good players that were out. I mean, Cobb was not in. Allison
right.
was
yeah.
not in.
Yeah.
Graham
bad
went out.
Bad injury year for the Packers.
But there, you know, that McCarthy was so conservative.
Yep.
And he didn't challenge. I mean, I can't believe that the people above weren't saying, hey, look, this is clearly, because when you looked at
that's
it
a good
clearly
point.
Was
he,
on.
That's a good point. Don't they rely more on the spotters?
Because
they're down on the field, and they can't see as well, and they don't have the monitors right there. But, yeah, Bill, what about that? How do you figure that?
See, here's the thing I don't get. Up in the stands, coaches who are watching the tendencies on the other team and your own tendencies. And when you see something that's being missed, that's been, maybe it hasn't been practiced, or maybe you've been watching film and you see that something's changed, it's your job to let that be known down on the field. And that has to now be communicated to the players before the next series.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think what we're saying here, though, is that when it comes to a specific play call,
right.
that they're in a better position than the coach to actually determine whether the challenge.
Much better.
And in baseball, they do the same thing now. They get on the phone. You see it. They go right to the dugout.
Absolutely.
And they go right. You know, any close call. It's funny. In the World Series here, just to switch back to baseball, actually all the playoffs, any close play at the base, you know, at first base, that immediately switch the camera to the dugout and you see the manager picking up the phone. Well, they don't, I guess it's not as conducive to do that in football, Pat?
No,
I
think
you. I think it is.
Oh, it is. It's much more.
No, I'm just saying you don't see it as much, though.
Well,
I'm
not so sure. I think that we don't see it on television,
okay.
But they usually do.
Okay. I thought you were giving McCarthy a bit of a pass.
Oh, no.
Because he was not going to those people.
No, I think what happened is he only had one timeout left, and he was being too conservative. Now, the one thing that I don't know whether there was a factor or not, can you guess what one of my concerns was when that game started last night? Do you know that Huntley, who, of course, was a quarterback who did so poorly with the Packers, he's now with the Seahawks. So they had
into the Packers system.
Not only that, they had to change some calls. They had, you know, they had to
Huntley's knowledge.
Well, and Huntley was sitting there, and obviously he had knowledge of what usually those things meant.
Sure, he sees the playbook, he sees the signals, everything had to
be
changed.
So they had to change signals, they had to do
And that's a fair point. The of course, the Patriots just got pasted in Tennessee, and all my friends, Rick and so forth, who went down there. Imagine making a big trip like that and see them get blown out like that. But prior to that game, I have no question about it.
But by the way, I think the Packers could have won that game, too.
They could have and should have won that game. Yep. It was a stupid fumble that precipitated.
Exactly.
The point I was going to make, no, absolutely, I thought they had the momentum but you know what? To the Patriots' credit, they ripped that ball out, fumble.
They did.
But the point I was going to make.
That was a forced fumble.
That was a forced fumble was the point. Thank you. But the point I was going to make is that, to Bill's point about knowledge and so forth, the two bad losses, what they consider to be bad losses, were to ex-Patriots players and coaches.
Mm-hmm.
It was Matt Patricia in Detroit and the guy in Tennessee. And in both Mike Vrabel. And in both cases, they were cerebral players who very much understood the system, what the Patriots are trying to do, and similar to what was going on with Huntley.
Right. And I thought really when they played the Redskins, the Packers played the Redskins, I think, again, Peterson made a big, you know, he was a big factor in that game because, again, you know, of course, Peterson was always tough to play against, but he knew the Packers, and of course, they never thought they'd have to play against him again.
Right. They were happy to see him get out of the division.
Yeah, well, they were very happy. And as Bill and I were talking, I really am very impressed with Chicago. That's a game that I don't know if the Packers can win.
Let's see what happens. I mean, yeah, they've had a good first half, but you know, to be honest with you, that quarterback, they've positioned it, scripted it to play to his strength and make him as good as he can be.
I think he's better than a lot of people think.
I'm very impressed. He's not that good.
Maybe the Bears
have done a good job of putting him in position where he's not making as many mistakes.
But that's what coaches are for.
Well, that's right.
That's why you have coaches, and that's why you have.
But the point is, later in the season, when the crunch games come in the playoffs, that's when a quarterback's going to improvise and really draw on these individual skills above and beyond coaching. And that's why I don't put a lot of stock in the Bears.
Well, and I think the Packers won that first game only because, a couple things. I think, and as I said
earlier, he was inexperienced.
It was his inexperience in the second half.
20-0. At the half.
Yeah. It was his, and, you know, his inexperience showed in the second half,
along
with, and I've said this before, I think Khalil Mack was just worn out.
Fourth quarter, that he was totally worn out. Rodgers took him down the field a couple of times.
But I thought, and of course, I like Wilson. You know, he was a quarterback at Wisconsin. So, yeah. I've always liked him. I think he's a good quarterback. But last night, if you watched the whole game, it wasn't Wilson doing his magic as much as it was the running game.
Yeah.
You know, that was this Carson.
Well, the real problem the Packers have had is their defensive line has not been good. They haven't stopped to run well the past 2 years.
Right, and I don't remember how many times Rodgers was sacked last night. It had to be
I thought it was
three
five.
Or five. Yeah,
I counted five.
And that's not good when your quarterback's not healthy to begin with.
Yeah,
no,
it isn't. You're going to have a problem with the Bears. John may very well be right, and the inexperience may well show. But on the other hand, you know, the Bears have the ability to shut down another team's offense defensively.
Very good defense, yeah.
Their defense
and they're going to be playing
good
in Chicago. It's just like, I mean, I'm worried because, the Packers now have to play in Chicago. They have to play in Minnesota.
Yep, that's right.
It is what it is, obviously. And yet, if you look at Jones, I mean, they really do have a good running game. I mean, he was even, maybe better at the Patriots game. But he's really, not only is he running, but he's able to, catch, when he's downfield. So there were a couple very long passes that he caught, made a couple touchdowns. He's been a real addition.
Yeah.
So just they need, 10 more of those. But some of these young guys are good. They're really looking good. Martinez is looking great. So anyway, what's happening with your I guess we really should say something about the Giants.
Yeah, well, they won Monday night, which is no great shakes in San Francisco. Again, they cut another offensive lineman, picked somebody up who was better than the guy that they signed in the offseason. I'll tell you, it has been a mystery as to what the problem is with this line. They put some decent people there. It's not for lack of trying. It hasn't gelled. And it does seem to be getting a little bit better. Now, if they beat Tampa on Sunday, and I think they might be favored by a point or two in that game, because I think the feeling is they can get to Fitzmagic, okay, which may want to turn him into Fitztragic. But they have a good chance to win that game. And, part of me would have liked to see them go 1-15 and secure the number one pick. But you can't look at it that way. There's still too many games to go, and you don't know who's going to be available, who's coming out. The kid from Alabama apparently is not coming out. So, I feel good for Eli Manning. He got a win. He played decently. OBJ got couple touchdowns. It was a game they needed just to stay sane.
I can't imagine any fan would really want their team to go 1-15 2-1. I mean, that just that's beyond me. And even because they're and I'm not sure who's coming up in the draft this year either.
Well, no, there aren't any. The one great quarterback out there, the Alabama quarterback, is only a sophomore. So he's not coming out.
Oh, he's not coming out.
So that's why they're saying.
And nor should he come out this early.
No, as good as he is, he shouldn't.
So let me ask a question, folks.
Before we do this, let me. I think although we don't have the list of our spots, so I'm trying to guess here, but let's. Let's play a few.
And when we come back, we certainly want to address the Eagles, Bill, and what's happening with them.
Rapp Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call...
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, the sports guys, we're back. We promise no more talk about the Packers.
That's okay, but let's talk about Thursday. You know, you got the Bears being hosted by the Lions, and I think the Bears are going to be toasting
Lions
the Lions
and Tigers
with turkeys.
And Bears.
Oh,
Lions
my.
Lions and Tigers and Bears.
And turkeys. And turkeys.
And turkeys. Yeah.
Well, remember, the Bears are going to beat these turkeys up pretty
playing?
Bad. Thursday, 12:30 is the kickoff on Thanksgiving.
And in Detroit.
In Detroit. And then after 4 o'clock, if you can hold your nose, the Redskins are being hosted for Thanksgiving dinner by the Cowboys. And I think the Redskins eat the Cowboys alive.
Let's hope so.
Well, not in my house. Let's not hope. Because, you know, we have some diehard Dallas fans. And
you
of course,
know the old expression, Pat. And Bill, you can complete this sentence. The only good cowboy is a dead cowboy.
Well, remember something. The only disappointment I have about this game is that they can't both lose.
Exactly. I used that line the other day, Bill. I said, I hope it's a tie, which is tantamount to a loss.
Well, exactly. Let me tell you, the only good thing about this is that it's not the Eagles playing the Cowboys, because that would be...
Civil War.
Civil War in your house?
It would be worse than Civil War. If you saw, as my daughter and one of her sons, they're the Cowboy fans, and of course her other son and daughter are Eagles fans.
How did they get corrupted like that, Pat?
Well, unfortunately, our daughter Sue...
And with her even working for Dyfus, my God.
Well, but she went to school down in Dallas.
I was just going
to
say, rooting for the Cowboys or the Jets is like child abuse. And that always reminds me of that, and I've told you this one before, Bill, but on The Fan, a certain radio personality who's a huge Jets fan, but he hates the regime all the way back. The Kotite years were the best. On Sunday night after the Jets lose, and he would go into a Kotite tirade.
Oh, man.
One guy calls in and he says, Joe, today was a great day. I took my son to his first New York Jets game. So Mingo says, how old's your son? He says, 5 years old, Joe. Got him to his first game. He says, wait a minute. You, let me get this straight. You took your son
An innocent child.
The New York Jets play football.
An innocent child taken to a Rich Kotite Jets game?
This is child abuse. Oh, you're going to get reported to Dyfus. And the guy is serious. He's like, Joe, I love my son. We had a great bonding experience. But no, this is child abuse. You can't do it. And for a while, you had that guy going, you know?
Well, all I have to say is don't ever send your kid off to college in Texas. Especially one like my daughter, who is a diehard football fan. And unfortunately, we didn't know what we had done wrong. Because how
in
the world...
Football is the state religion of Texas.
But it's also the religion of Wisconsin. How could we possibly have a child who would root for anyone other than the Packers? So, and then, despite everything
heresy.
I tried to
so,
do...
So let me ask you a question.
Any of the grandchildren couldn't get them to be fancy.
They got cut right out of the will.
So let me see if I understand this right. You know, there's a country western song... Mamas, don't raise your sons to be cowboys. How about mamas, don't raise your sons to root for the cowboys?
But
there is a country western song.
No, I know there is.
Yeah. And, I'm surprised they don't play that in Green Bay more.
Don't let them grow up to be cowboys.
Yeah, don't let them grow up to be cowboys.
Right, Pat.
Grow up to root for the Cowboys. I'm getting a little fumble mouthed here. Sounds like I should be playing for Green Bay, shouldn't I?
I have to tell you... you know, last year there was deep mourning because our grandson, who's a Cowboy fan, could not even hope and root for the Eagles in the Super Bowl. I mean, that's how bad it was.
Wow, that would be like being forced to wear a dress.
Well, I will say probably the thrill of his young life was when he was able to talk to Jason Witten, who was the nicest guy. We were out
there. He is supposed to be a wonderful guy.
I have to tell you, he was... took a picture with our grandson and just was, you know, they were playing the Packers and we were out there for that game. And I think that's, you know. And frankly, talking about the sportscasters, I like Witten. I really think that he gives enough information. I've really enjoyed listening to him. And I don't like everyone.
I like very few of the sportscasters. I'm finding that they're getting more and more dumbed down as time goes on. Now, maybe I'm getting crotchety, but others have made that comment.
Well, a lot of people in Wisconsin will watch the game on television and listen to one of the radio announcers.
Oh, yeah, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised one bit. I was never a big fan of Harry Callis, and I wasn't crazy about Richie Ashburn either, so I would just turn the sound down and watch the Phillies games.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, my father-in-law would do the same thing. He couldn't stand either of them. He would turn the sound off, and I would walk into the room and say, hey, you know, the sound's down. There's something wrong with the set. He said, no, I can't stand those guys.
But would they listen to the announcers on the radio then?
He would put the radio on. That's what he would do. It would drive my mother-in-law crazy because the TV would go into a commercial. The radio, they'd still be chatting away about the Phillies popping up with the bases loaded.
One of the things that we have learned to do is start the games just a little bit later, and then we can race through the commercials. Now, we don't answer the phone. We don't look at a cell phone the way John is doing right now. But that way, we can sit there. So we didn't finish watching that game last night until, I don't know, it was probably 12:20. But we got to watch it without commercial. Every once in a while, there looks to be like an interesting commercial, so then you'll play it. But anyway, our season, I'm just poor Dave. I mean, his week is ruined.
I'm sure. But I mean, if somehow they can, you know, put a string of games together, they can get back into it because, you know, as good, the Bears and the Vikings both have good teams, but they're not great. So they're catchable. The real problem I think the Packers have is the injuries.
Oh, they do have. And Cobb makes a difference when he's in. And I'm impressed with a lot of these young players, but they can't, you know. And who knows, whenever there's going to be injuries, I mean, that any good team is missing good people at this time of year.
Yep, football was definitely a game of attrition.
So what are you looking forward to as far as, what are the Devils going to be doing that you're pleased or not pleased with?
You know, they opened up 4-0, then they lost 6 out of 8, and now they've won 2 in a row. So, Bill, you know, I think the Flyers and the Devils are similar. They don't have great goaltending, they got decent goaltending. They don't have great power forwards. They got some good players, though. Taylor Hall, who won the MVP, he scored 2 goals in the game. I was at Tuesday night. Is a borderline great player. Nico Hershey did not play. He was their number one pick.
He was hurt?
2 years ago. He is on an IR, which is devastating to them because he's the speed demon on that team and great hands and adds an element, a dimension to their offensive attack that really makes it difficult to make up for. Pat, I think that it's a long season, and as Bill and I will tell you, any year as you approach the holidays, you approach it with cautious optimism. You hope that the team stays relatively healthy, because we all know the NHL season really starts in
January,
February.
Yeah,
January,
February. I loved, as I've said before, I really liked it the year they were on strike because then
football
was over and
22 games.
Yep.
And every one of them meant something.
That's exactly. That's the problem.
And a lot of us.
Can you imagine if baseball played about 140, 130 games rather than 162? They'd be much less willing. You know, you watch some of these games. I mean, I saw it this year. The Red Sox had a lot of blowout games where, you know, they were 7-0 in the fourth inning. And the other team was basically giving up. They're saying, well, you know, 162 games. We'll go at it tomorrow. Right. And I think that's easy to do in baseball.
Well, you play so many games. You got to make a good point, John. But, you know, the problem with baseball is they need to fill these stadiums.
But they people, don't. That's what amazes me.
Baseball,
how in the
amazing.
World
well,
can
the
they
teams,
play
Kansas
the
City,
salaries?
Oakland, a lot of them. Tampa has been notorious, aside from a few years they have where they were winning. They don't fill the stadium. Well, even Yankee Stadium half the time is not, unless the Red Sox are there. Or maybe the Orioles, or maybe some interleague play that's interesting.
Well, it's also so expensive. I mean,
I
think that people
true.
Justify
the Red Sox,
football.
The Yankees, the tickets, it's $1,000 a day if you want to go to the game.
Yeah, I mean,
but more
football,
importantly,
they justify because there aren't that many games.
Correct.
Yeah. In football, you can. And, you know, for hockey, again, the pro sports ticket is priced beyond where it really should be. I mean, at the end of the day, this is really entertainment. And, you know, for a family of four to go out and spend $500 for a night, that's a lot of money. Now, I will tell you, the Flyers are playing Tampa at 1 o'clock Saturday, tomorrow.
Yes, hey, we're going to say goodbye. We hear that we've been taken over.
Okay, so
we won't be here next week. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving, folks, and get up off that couch and enjoy the snow.
Organizations throughout Hunterdon County that they support are great organizations. And the commission does an excellent job in supporting and fostering those organizations. So kudos to them.
And they do a lot of the marketing. So if you go to their website, you can see some of the events that are coming up. I know they do. They send out emails all the time so that people can see it through the chamber, through you know, Constant Contact, eBlast, etc. And really do support, even once the money is handed over, or even if the money isn't handed over, they are